You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Dear Jesus, as you begin your journey in the desert, you proclaimed the gospel from God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe the gospel."
Welcome, dear friends, to our program on Lent. To all our listeners, and especially the faithful listeners at All Saints, we are very thankful and grateful that you will be with us for this next hour on our journey for this year.
Yeah, our show is Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We are Mary Angela and...
and Nick. And we just recently took down our Christmas tree, and now we're going to enter into the desert, and we're going to meet up with some dry cactuses.
Wow, so, what a change that is.
Yeah. So as usual, we pray intentions. We pray for all of your intentions, especially the frontline workers, the doctors, the nurses, the cleaning staff, for all those who are suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, and also financially. We pray for Mario Artuso.
That's my dad. Let's pray for his continued healing.
And we pray for the Carbone family, and we pray for all your families, and again, all of your intentions. And we pray for the gift of life from conception to the end of life, because life is worth living, and it is valuable, and let us respect life. And we'd like to mention that tomorrow is Our Lady of Lourdes. So if you get a chance, maybe watch a Mass online, or... you know, keep Mother Mary close in your hearts, especially tomorrow.
And so our topic we decided for this month is on the Lent, our 40 days leading into Easter. So we're taping our show from the comfort of our home, and we've been doing for now the last 11 year, right?
Yeah, almost the whole year.
Oh my goodness, time flies.
Yeah, because, you know, we're following protocol, and we can't be outside after 8, you know.
And so what's new now are the vaccines are coming, and so hopefully that'll change everything, and we'll... you know, step closer to getting back to the usual life.
We hope and pray for that. And, you know, this show will be a lot of prayers, passages, and reflections for Lent. So how we will do it is we will explain what Lent is. And then we will go into the desert with Jesus. And the last part of the show will be how to pray and meditate, what Jesus, how Jesus would have meditated and prayed
in the wilderness.
Yeah. And also how the many different styles of meditation that he left with us, right?
Yeah. So, we're going to focus a lot on prayer.
So during the lockdown, it feels like we... you know, we're alone and we feel like Jesus was in the desert. Mm-hmm. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we need a jump start.
Yeah, a boost of energy, don't we? So let's be radical this Lent, and let's do not the same old thing. Let's try to do something really different. Set our lives in a new direction. So let's continue from last month's theme, where we had a new attitude, a new start of the new year, 2021. And let's shift make a shift, a conversion. It's a transition, a reformation, a remaking, a revision, all change for the better.
Yeah, so true. You know, big thing is letting go. Right. And funny thing is, I had all my notes and papers and, you know, I was so, you know, wanted to make this the perfect show. And guess what? I forgot them at my parents' house. So I had to let go. So sometimes we need to let go of letting go.
Yes, like, that's right.
Basically not being so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's just one of the many things we'd like to share.
I think the Holy Spirit will be our guide, yeah. Right? So we're going to talk a lot about the 40 days of being in the desert. It's a retreat with our Lord. Have we allowed this pandemic to drain us? Some questions for you. So the worldly cares and the daily drama, has thus all obscured our call to holiness? Have busyness and materialism eroded our relationship with God? Then let us renew our efforts, and through our Lenten observance, let's discipline the body and master it as we follow in the footsteps of the poor and crucified Christ. It's all about going deeper in our faith.
So right now we will begin the show with what is Lent?
So Lent is a penitential season of approximately 40 days. It's to let God into our hearts. That's the main focus, our main goal, is letting God in. It's done in order to prepare us for the celebration of the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. So during this holy season, during Lent, the church members prepare for Easter by recalling their baptism and by the works of penance. So for the next 40 days, we are to willingly submit to fasting and self-denial, all in imitation of our Lord's fast in the desert. It is in these dark and still nights, these desert and wilderness times, that the soul experiences its greatest growth. Because we're in isolation, right?
Yeah.
So that helps us to grow. And there in the inner arena, our soul battles the world, the flesh, and the devil, just as our Lord battled Satan's triple temptation in the desert. So his battle was external. For Jesus could not sin, but our battle is interior. But with hope sustained by knowing of God's and Christ's Easter victory over sin and death, we're able to like get through it with this hope. So Jesus's victory is our renewal in this season, penitential season, so that we have the opportunity to make an annual spiritual tuning up or a cleansing. Tune up.
So this year we celebrate, we started Lent with Ash Wednesday, February 17th, so next week. Ashes remind us of our mortality. Remember that you are dust. And thus, on the day when we will stand before God and be judged. So to prepare well for this day, the day we die, we have to die to sin. To rise new life to Christ. Ashes are from blessed palm branches from the previous Palm Sunday. They are sprinkled with holy water and incense before distribution.
And the tradition is that the ashes are applied to our forehead in the sign of a cross. And the words that are said are that turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. So it's our call to conversion and holiness of life. And each year, the church observes Lent. The goal of every Christian is to leave Lent and become closer to God and stronger in our faith as we enter into it.
So the theme we started last month, is the necessary thing. And for Lent, it's prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer is our personal reflection with God. This connection with God makes us grateful for the blessings we have received. Prayer is the cornerstone in our Lenten journey, and it is vital to all. It is, you know, it is a vital action. Some of the things that Jesus did in prayer, Jesus prayed for others. He prayed with others. Jesus prayed alone. Jesus prayed in nature. Jesus prayed regularly. Jesus' prayers were heartfelt. And Jesus taught perseverance in prayer.
Second is almsgiving. And this comes from the heart. It's a gratitude for all that God has given us, reflecting the realization that we are the body of Christ. So let us give of our time, of our talent, and of our money. Reach out, make phone calls. During this pandemic, you know, we're making a lot of video calls because we can't really see people in person. And remember to smile and do it all with a smile, because a smile really doesn't cost anything, and it is everything. It brings a lot of joy just when you see. And when you smile, the whole world smiles with you.
So what we'd like to do is share with you now some words that we can experience during Lent. We need to simply breathe, be courageous, encouragement, healing, optimism.
There's peace, there's praise, there's renew, restoration, recover, resilience, stillness.
Silence, strong, and thankful. So we started with prayer, we moved to almsgiving, and now we go to fasting. We think about a food fast, but it's about purifying the body, mind, and spirit. Because when we do this, we make room for God. It's about detaching the negative attachments to become empty and to make room for the Holy Spirit. And now we enter into the desert. So we enter into the desert. A little bit about the desert. We have a quote from Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You see, 40 represents testing, trial, and a journey. It is mentioned in the Bible many times, especially the 40 years Moses and the Israelites were wandering and the 40 days of rain for Noah.
The desert realities can be enchanting, breathtaking, because it's really sunny, hot. But it's a very harsh environment, wild and unpredictable. It can get very lonely being out in the desert. There's desert storms, so it's very dry.
Yeah.
During the day, it can get very hot, over 120 degrees. There's no water, no food. It's filled with creatures like scorpions and snakes. And so maybe we feel kind of like the COVID lockdown.
Yeah, it's very similar. Like
isolating.
You know, the desert, what Jesus experienced in the desert is what we're going through, mm-hmm. right? In this lockdown, like Mary Angela said, you know, it's cold. We're isolated.
We feel alone and worried.
Yeah. You know, it can be scary, you know, because there's a lot of thieves and energy vampires out there,
That's
right?
That's right. That's right. And in the desert, it's a place where it was part of the formation of Jesus. He prayed and fasted there, all in isolation, all alone. But there he could encounter God. So we go from,
as mentioned before
yeah.
a fresh Christmas tree to a dry cactus.
And here we go into the dry cactus.
Yeah, the desert.
Scenery.
And, you know, we encourage everyone to maybe pick something that we said to be radical, something different, something that you usually don't do, right? And pick one and, you know,
something to do.
Yeah. Have a great Lent. So we will now read the gospel from Mark.
John the Baptist said, after me is coming someone who is more powerful than me, and I am not fit to kneel down and undo the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It was at this time that Jesus came from the desert in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And at once as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my God, the beloved. My favor rests on you." And at once the Spirit drove him into the desert. And he remained there for 40 days, and he put to the test by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels looked after him. After John had been arrested, Jesus went into Galilee. There he proclaimed the gospel from God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is close at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
So some of the reflections on the desert. So Jesus gets baptized and says, and God is well pleased with him. Wow, great. It's the best day of your life. And then, boom, a drastic shift. Just like the lockdown, he's in the desert. The devil is the father of all lies, and he attacks us in many ways. He attacked Jesus with the desire of flesh, the desire of covetousness, and the desire of pride and the lust for power. So another way the devil kind of tempts us is, I call it the halt principle. Whenever we're hungry, anxious, lonely, or tired, H-A-L-T, he will strike. And that's what he did to Jesus. So a funny thing, we can relate because we were in the Holy Land at the Mount of Temptation.
That's right. How many years ago was that?
Yeah, that was
already?
about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And like I said, if these stones could talk, right? And we made a vow, well, I did, to say, you know, to eat better, to drink better, and to watch out, to be more healthy. At the same time, you know, there was an incident, remember, at the restaurant?
That's right.
About half an hour later, after I vowed to become, you know, more mindful in my eating, and because of that accident, something fell, and the owner came up to us. And what did the owner tell us? He said
we could have anything we wanted in that restaurant, yeah, anything to eat.
You can eat anything. You can drink anything. And I said, would you look at that? You know,
there's that temptation.
There's that temptation to have almost anything we want, right? So we need to be mindful and be aware. You know, especially when we're strong, that's when I think is the time the devil like jumps in, mm-hmm, and plants that seed of doubt.
That's right.
And it was such we really recommend that if you get a chance one day, once this is all over with and traveling it becomes safe, if you can go to the Holy Land and go where Jesus was, right?
And experience it for yourself.
Yeah, it's truly incredible. And we went down the road to Jericho, which led to the Mount of Temptation.
Okay, so now what did Jesus do in the desert that we can do? Well, he prayed and he rested for his ministry. So we can also evangelize and pray. He walked. And so we can also walk and stay in shape and be active.
You know, we try and go for a walk every day.
That's right. And right. As we walk, we pray.
Yeah.
We do two in one, don't
two
we?
Two for one.
Two for one. We pray the rosary. Jesus faced the wild beast in the desert. So we too can face and have courage in dealing with our temptations. Jesus avoided the temptation, and so we can learn from Jesus in avoiding it by breathing, remaining calm in really tough situations. And Jesus remained patient and he persevered, so we can also do the same as Jesus in all these
I always
examples.
Say Jesus is the, not only our Lord and Savior, but the greatest example to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue the desert theme. 40 days. It's a long time. As we mentioned, it's about testing, trial, and the person you become. So these are some of the things that we encounter in the desert if we went there, or some of the things that we can relate in our COVID lockdown desert.
Right.
So in the desert, it can be a very harsh environment. We can really, truly understand what is necessary in life, family, faith, and just enough food. In the desert sun and sand can be very harsh. They are burning hot. But it teaches the traveler to move with care. In the wilderness, like our lives, it is a long journey. So what we can learn is to travel light.
Yeah, we don't need a lot of baggage, do we?
Drop the baggage. Just have a carry-on.
Mm-hmm. In the desert life, it shows us our physical and our mental limits. It also teaches us humility. In the wilderness, we are confronted with our temptations, and so it forces us to focus on our survival and follow the example of Jesus. In the wilderness, desert, wasteland, as we wander, we ask, how did I get here?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. Like,
what happened?
What happened? Just like now with COVID, what happened to this world? So it's a grand awakening, and it helps us realize, well, what is really the priority in our lives?
Yeah, have we adjusted? Have we changed, right? Humans can cause desertification, the way we treat the land recklessly, deforesting, taking it for all its minerals.
Yeah.
Right? And in the same way, we can do that to our bodies. And remember, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
So let's take care of our physical bodies.
Physically, mentally, and spiritually strong. In the wilderness, as Mariangela said, wasteland, there is a long, eerie silence.
Wow.
But wait, that silence is where we can listen for the voice of God.
And he can be our comfort.
Yeah, because Mariangela mentioned at the beginning, because sometimes we're so busy, we're so overwhelmed that we're just so like wound up so tight that we can't let anything in.
That's right.
And so I think it all starts with being silent. Mm-hmm. And I love to say, when you move the words around in silent, you get the word listen.
There you go. So in the desert, there is a sparseness and a dryness there. And so we can learn to appreciate the lush gardens when they come,
especially Easter, right?
Desert.
So in the long, hard, treacherous journey in the desert, the lush garden would be the Easter Sunday.
That's right.
When Jesus, goes to heaven, right? In the desert, we encounter dust storms. You know, it's a reality which fills the landscape with harsh winds. So what it teaches us is to conserve your energy and to check the weather reports.
We can plan ahead,
yeah,
right?
So we may not have dust storms, but we have snow and ice storms.
Right now, right? Yeah.
So we plan ahead.
Also in the desert wilderness, we find it's barren and empty. And so that forces us to meet ourselves face to face. We turn to Jesus in repentance. And in the desert, it is where we must realize that there are days when we leave the comforts of the city and we can become more resilient.
Yeah, it's like leaving our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when was it? Just last February, everything was good. And then we
get
into the cold, harsh.
That's all it takes.
The desert, right? Because the desert can be cold at night. It can be freezing, right? As much as it's hot, right? So in the wilderness, Christ faced many temptations. We must learn to have fortitude in our life and to remain faithful.
Just like Jesus. And in the desert, we learn that our greatest enemy is fear. So It prompts us to use our energy in short bursts to try to escape it.
Yeah, because we're so overwhelmed, we want to get the heck out of there. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know where you're going, especially in the desert, it could be a long journey.
And very, caused with fear. But we can rely on Jesus to get us through.
Yeah.
And let us adapt following the path that Jesus did with fasting and prayer. That'll help us through. In the desert, also, when we're wandering and in the sun, and it's sun's burning heat down on us, we find that we must be transformed as our impurities are burned away in the fires of his divine love.
Yeah, just how gold is refined in the fire, that's the same thing with us, right? Mm-hmm. In the desert, water can be very difficult to find. So to find water, we must go down to the low and shadow places. So when we stay close to the ground and the earth, that is where we find humility.
And in the wilderness, it's our journey. We learn to look ahead and be grateful for when we find the oasis, we reach it at the end of our day's journey. And this is our Easter, as Nick mentioned before, the lush oasis. Mm-hmm. So we look forward to that time.
In the desert, it can be very demanding and draining, and we can be very isolated and lonely. The wise travelers choose out good companions. Let us choose Jesus on this journey. And I like to say footprints in the sand. I think that's perfect here,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
You know, when we see the footprints, right? And that's, you know, who was it? That's God. He was carrying us.
That's right. That's right.
So choose wisely.
Mm-hmm. And in the wilderness, we may encounter thieves and bandits and scorpions and creatures of all kind. But we must trust in the Lord and pray for protection because he will protect us.
Mm-hmm. In the same way, the spiritual desert of Lent, we can be, you know, our spiritual dryness, right? But it can teach us many things that Jesus, who is the living water, so we need to pray, fast and do almsgiving to get us ready, for this, season of Lent leading to Easter.
So if we would take up our cross and follow Christ, we must follow him into the desert, leaving behind all our comforts, just as he did. And so we follow him into the spiritual desert because this Via Dolorosa is the road to eternal life, to the resurrection.
So we're just going to pause for a moment, you know, hoping... what are the temptations that you're facing? Are you ready for the desert that's coming next week? Because it's a time for conversion and getting ready for Easter. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we put some things out for you to reflect and pray on.
Will you be doing the same old thing? Hopefully, we're giving you some inspiration to look at something new to try.
Yes, right? Let us become radical.
Mm-hmm. So as we leave the desert following the river of life to the garden, it is only natural that we rush towards the garden with joy. Remember, we always need to focus on the joy. Like there's an end in sight that we're... you know, leading up to at Easter.
Yeah.
That'll help you get through these 40 days, yeah. You know, focus on the end point.
Yeah. And that's a big factor because we want things right now. And it's hard because, you know, we've grown up in abundance and we don't like waiting.
Right.
Right. And this is the thing. So we have to become patient. But if we look at the end, as Marianne just said, the joy, right?
Yeah. So we're rushing towards that garden with joy, anticipating the abundant life that we will find there. So it is the desert which prepares us to live life with loving gratitude for the immense wealth of the garden. For we know what it is like to live without the lush provisions of a garden. So it's that contrast, right? It helps us appreciate when we lack in order to, when we do have it, to appreciate it even more.
Yeah. And in the same way, as we leave the spiritual desert of Lent, it is only natural that we rush toward the risen Christ with great joy, anticipating the abundant life he has prepared for us in paradise. The spiritual desert of Lent has prepared us to accept this gift of the risen life with humble gratitude, for we know what it is like to have a sparse life on the burning sands and hard rocks, a life without the lush abundance of the eternal flowing water. So we look forward, like it's a formation.
It is.
So we go from desolation, as St. Ignatius said, we go from desolation to consolation.
Mm.
And we move from a dry, parched desert into a lush oasis. And I like the word paradise.
Amen to that.
You know what I mean? Because what did they say? Life is short, but heaven is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the desert teaches us many things, right? There's a reason why, you know, it's so, it's what, 40 days? And some say, you know, the weekend Sundays don't count, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so, because it's Resurrection Sunday all the time.
Resurrection Sunday. We should always be celebrating at that time.
So
we mentioned, you know, the desert can be hard, but sometimes, you know, it may not be a mirage. You know, it can be, you know, it could be a lush garden in the middle of the desert,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what the Sundays are,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, it's where we are formed.
It is.
And it is. We become closer to God through conversion, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we can do is, you know, as mentioned earlier, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. And
so in our Lenten journey,
you know, where
with
we,
Jesus,
you know, where we learn to detach in the desert, these are some of the things that we can detach, we can fast from, and feast on.
One thing is we can fast from judging others and we can feast on Christ dwelling in them. We can fast from the emphasis on differences and instead feast on the unity of life. We can fast from apparent darkness and feast on the reality of light. We can fast from the thoughts of illness and feast on the healing power of God. Fast from the words that pollute, feast on the words that purify. Fast from discontent, but feast on gratitude. Fast from anger, feast on patience.
We fast from pessimism, feast on optimism. Fast from worry, feast on divine providence. Fast from complaining, feast on appreciation. Fast from negatives, feast on affirmatives. Fast from hostility, feast on peace. Fast from bitterness, feast on forgiveness.
Fast from self-concern and feast on compassion for others. Fast from personal anxiety, feast on trust. Let's fast from discouragement and let's feast on hope. Let's fast from acts that tear down and feast on acts which build up. Let's fast from thoughts that weaken and feast on promises that inspire. Let's fast from idle gossip and feast on purposeful silence. And finally, let's fast from problems which overwhelm and feast on prayer that undergirds us.
So We've had a wonderful first part of the show. So right now we're going to take a little break. And when we return,
perfect break time.
Let you just meditate and pray. And speaking of meditation, when we come back, we will talk about Christian meditation.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Okay, welcome back to our show. And we thought we would delve a little bit more deeper into prayer and in focusing on Christian meditation, because a lot of people don't know about meditation, and in fact, Christian meditation. And it is a form of prayer, and it helps us to connect and get closer to God.
Because you're going to have lots of time to meditate in the desert.
That's right.
Or in the 40 days, because with the lockdown, we've been given the gift of staying home and being silent. Perfect time.
Amen, yeah. And so there's three expressions of prayer. One is vocal prayer. This next is meditation, and then there's contemplative prayer. And many of us grew up well-versed in vocal prayer. That is purely just memorizing prayers like the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and just like speaking to God, like talking to Him. And so many of us don't know a lot about meditation and contemplation. But prayer is never just a sheer multiplication or reciting of words. But Jesus reminds us it's an there's an invitation in prayer to seek a closer relationship, a closer union with God.
Yeah, many times you just get up and go into nature, right? And become in a closer union because it was stressful doing all those miracles and healings, right? He needed to get away to energize and fill him, you know, to get closer to God that way.
Yeah. So in vocal prayer, we're in active communication with God, right? Talking to Him and with Him. But in meditation, we're invited to listen to Him, to be still and listen to Him.
Yeah. The perfect thing we can try and do more is adoration. And we can start with 15 minutes.
And adoration is a perfect example of meditative prayer, right? And actually, a perfect passage from Psalm 46:10 states, "Be still and know that I am God." And we could use that short passage as a meditation and as a prayer for ourselves. Be still and know that I am God. For God is our refuge, our light, and our strength. So meditation is the practice of being still, the practice of listening with our hearts, and knowing that God and God's love are real and present in our lives.
That's powerful. You know, if we meditate on that. What was that again, Mariangela?
Be still and know that I am God. Yeah, and we could even parse it up and, say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. And finally,
be.
Remember that during our retreat?
Yeah, we did. It was very life-giving. Mm-hmm. And be means become one with God, right?
Mm-hmm. And so another way to describe meditation is it's a form of prayer which is encouraged and beneficial to our growth in spiritual life. And you can think of it, a prayer as a stage of progression, which begins with vocal prayer. It progresses to meditation, and then it ascends to contemplative prayer, which is remaining in silence in the presence of God.
So according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Meditation is above all a quest. The mind seeks to understand the why and how of the Christian life in order to adhere and respond to what the Lord is asking. The practice of meditation is described by the Catechism as using our thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. This mobilization of faculties is necessary in order to deepen our convictions of faith, prompt the conversion of our heart, and the strengthening of our will to follow Christ. So it allows us to get closer to God.
And so what are examples of Christian meditation? One example is praying the rosary, because it's not really merely reciting of the memorized words in the rosary, like the Hail Mary and Our Father with, you know, using the beads. What we're doing in the rosary is really reflecting upon the mysteries as we pray them, right? So we're reflecting on the lives of Jesus and Mary as we pray the rosary.
You know, we can, read the Bible. We can practice Lectio Divina.
And that's another example of Christian meditation.
These allows us to reflect on the word, the divine word of God, and the truths of our faith. Spending time in prayer with scripture, especially the gospels, which contain the words and actions of Jesus himself, can be an extremely beneficial form of meditative prayer. You know, there's often a word, phrase, or passage that jumps out to you and seems to resonate during prayer. And that's a big part of our show, right? If there's a word, a phrase, or something that
jumps out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That grabs you, like the word this year maybe is to be radical.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Radical in a good way.
Yeah,
like change, shake it up, right?
Converting.
Yeah, to become anew. So, you know, one can pause with that particular thought, phrase, or word, reflecting upon it to contemplate its deeper meaning and allow the Lord to speak to us, to our heart. Lectio Divina is an ancient way of prayer with sacred reading, especially scripture. So we read, we meditate, and personally respond and contemplate.
Another example is imaginative prayer. And this is an Ignatian way of praying, where you prayerfully enter into a particular scene of the Bible using your imagination to interact with the scenes of the Bible passage, with the people and the environment, and enter into conversation with Christ, or as someone who actually speaks to God and actually speaks to Jesus or the people around there.
Another way we can to deepen the prayer, Marigil said, the imaginative prayer of Saint Ignatius is our five senses.
That's right.
You know,
use all five senses.
You know, taste,
yeah.
Touch, smell. What do we hear?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do we feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we place ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did that once when we did a prayer on the Garden of Gethsemane.
Gethsemane, yes.
You know, what were they eating at the Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
you know, before they went to the garden? What were they drinking? Mm-hmm. How did it taste? Mm-hmm. What did it smell?
Or even now we're like thinking about the desert, where, you know, at night, was it cold? Was it hot in the dirt?
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Our mouths were dry, parched, right?
So putting ourselves in that scene, allowing us to use all our senses.
Yeah.
It really, makes us really reflect.
Yeah. So when
meditate.
You read a passage, put yourself right in there, right? And it's amazing how much it adds to prayer.
Yeah, another examples of Christian meditation is just reading stories of the saints and looking what they have to say, right? There's lots of works from the saints that offer a lot of wisdom to us. There's saints like Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint John of the Cross. They're really good sources and instructions on the way of meditation and contemplation. There's also Saint Padre Pio, and he said, what did he say?
Whoever does not meditate is like someone who never looked in the mirror before going out, doesn't bother to see if they're tidy, and may go out dirty without even knowing it. So by meditating, we become more in tune with the way of God and become more self-aware.
Yeah.
We are enlightened about ourselves, you know, our faults, our imperfections, and how to correct them. We often receive insight into God's will for our own lives. In other words, we come to know God more and be transformed into being more like Him.
And some other works for looking at prayerful meditation is just purely the holy icons and religious art, you know, standing in front of the beautiful works of art, like at the Vatican, that can be very meditative, right?
Yeah. And in our Lenten journey in the next 40 days, these are, you know, some examples that we can do, mm-hmm. you know, because we use our eyes not only to read, but to see the beauty and the art that were left behind, you know, for our faith, how blessed we are, right? How deep and rich our faith is. And, you know, sometimes all we need to do is look at all the beautiful things in the Vatican or in Florence or any part of Italy, all the beautiful churches, even your own church, especially, you know, look and see if there's a history of your church. We recently did a 50-year anniversary at our parish at All Saints. And just, you know, look around. There's so many things of the church we didn't even know about, right? So look at your church and how beautiful it is.
Now, another way that we could look at Christian meditation is that it's a prayer of the heart, not of the mind. And it's a prayer of the three S's, which are silence, stillness, and simplicity. Silence, the first part, is it's a letting go of our thoughts, our words, and feelings. So prayer can have two parts. First, talking to God, and second, listening to God. It's a relationship that doesn't work when, a relationship doesn't work when one person does all the talking, right? And there's no listening involved, right? It goes both ways. So you have to talk and listen. So in meditation, we listen with our hearts. We don't need to plead, correct, nag, or teach, because in reality, God knows everything. So from Matthew, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
So during our Lent, we look for stillness, just to sit still. Stillness is letting go of desire. Stillness is more than being quiet and not moving. It is a state of being open, receptive, and attentive. When we pray during Christian meditation, we sit in an upright posture. Our spine is straight. Our hands are placed on our laps. We are relaxed. Our eyes are lightly closed. We become aware of our breath and we breathe in Jesus and we exhale mercy.
Jesus mercy.
We begin to say our words as we learn to rest in God. So being still increases our awareness of our body and spirit.
Simplicity. Simplicity is letting go of our self-analysis. It's being attentive and intentional. We give the word our full intention. We stay awake. We are there, present, in the moment. And Jesus recognizes our intention. A condition of simplicity is trust. And as St. Paul said, we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit prays within us. So there's learning to be silent and praying in silence. We must focus in on one word. Christian meditation is a Christ-centered prayer that uses a sacred word or mantra. And the mantra is a Sanskrit word that means that which clears the mind. So it could be like focusing, as we said before, be still and know that I am God, and have that be our mantra and focus only on that. So it's our intentive interior repetition, and that quiets the mind and leads to silent. And it's also recommended using the word Maranatha. Maranatha. Maranatha? Maranatha. Yes, Maranatha. Is that how you say it? Maranatha.
Yeah.
And this is an Aramaic word and the language that Jesus spoke, which what it means is come, Lord. And it's one of the earliest Christian prayers.
Sorry, what was that word again, Mariangela?
So as we say it gently in four syllables. Maranatha. Maranatha. So listen to it silently in your hearts and in the rhythm of your breath, and you will find God, the Lord, coming to you. So come, Lord, Maranatha. Come, Lord, Maranatha. And by continuously repeating this meditation on one word internally, distractions are gently pushed away and allows us to listen to the silence, silence that is developing in our inner senses, in our sense of our conscience, and our sensitivity to the internal in us, and our ability to listen to God. So, in summary, with Christian meditation, what we do is we create a focus. We become silent by using a prayer, word, or mantra.
Yeah, sorry. Speaking of silence, you know, a lot of people are afraid of the silence.
That's right.
You know, and especially in this COVID and this lockdown, we've had a lot of silence. So don't be afraid of the silence, because that's when we can hear the word of God.
So, yeah, so we can have a focus by becoming silent. We have faith, where we become still by being receptive, open to just being in the present moment. And we can become open and simple. We become simple by accepting the unknowing and by trusting and repeating the mantra that leads to the condition of simplicity. So how do we meditate? We can meditate through engaging our thoughts and imagination and emotions and desires. So in other words, it's a beautiful holistic prayer that wants to engage all of our senses. We can meditate by going to a comfortable place, be it indoors, outdoors, giving thanks to God for the moment, to listen and breathe and become attentive, right?
So find, in our desert journey, find a place that you'll become comfortable with in your Lenten journey.
And we're seeking communion where we are, away from distractions. And that helps us to become meditative.
So we're getting close to the end of our show, and I think it's time to maybe just recap what we spoke about. You know, we started with prayer, our connection to God. Almsgiving is the being grateful and doing acts of charity. Fasting, we detach and purify our soul. Then we entered into the desert, where we followed the path of Jesus, a conversion to meet God. And then we went to
Christian meditation, and we learned how it helps us to become closer to God, a meditation. And we're moving from the vocal prayer to really being not talking to God, but allowing him to enter into us, you know, becoming receptive from God.
Yeah, and Miranda just shared with us, we both shared the many ways that we can become receptive. And what were those three S's?
Being silent, being still, and being simple.
Yeah, that basically says it all, right? If you get anything from tonight, those three letters, that's great. Or those three words, I should say. So we want to thank Alex, and we want to thank you, the listeners, and have a great Lent. And talk to you soon.
And we just wanted to end this program by this guided Christian meditation on being joyful. And we hope you enjoy it.
God, thank you for filling us with your joy. We are joyful when we love and connect with you. The more we experience you, the more our lives are filled with joy, and the more our joy overflows to everyone around us, multiplying it. Thank you for giving us your joy. We are joyful when we believe you. You have told us that we are your precious sons and daughters, children of the Most High, and that you love us with a love that is unchanging and endless. Thank you for helping us see ourselves as you see us. We are joyful when we trust you. You have promised to look out for our yesterdays, our todays, and our tomorrows. You watch over us and protect us. We need not fear, because you are there to guide and shepherd us. You care for us. You have plans to prosper and not harm us, no matter what our current circumstances may be. Thank you for your trustworthiness. We are joyful when we do what you tell us to. You have told us that the most important thing is to love you, ourselves, and one another. When we do this, we're filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you for showing us the way to live. Strengthen us, Lord, to walk the path you have set out for us, knowing that you are with us every step of the way, filling us with your joy daily as we spend time with you, ourselves, and others. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus. And may the joy of
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.